I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. What a privilege it is to be able to study God's Word, and I count it a privilege to be able to share with you God's Word, and we've been doing that for several weeks now in the book of Romans. Today we finish our study with chapter 16 of the book of Romans. But let me invite you to look at our website, lrwm.org. On the website, you'll be able to download every program of the book of Romans that we've gone through since we started. You'll be able to download the programs, the broadcasts. You'll also be able to download the transcripts of every program of It's a Good Life, the book of Romans, starting with chapter 1 and ending with chapter 16. lrwm.org. Or you can write to me today, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That's Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. If you'll write to me today, I'll be glad to pray with you. If you have a prayer request, I'll take it to the Lord in prayer, and I'll ask God to bless you and bless those requests. We can pray together that God would answer your request. Now, my prayer is not what does the job. God does the job, but He asks us and He instructs us in the Word of God that we are to pray and we are to ask Him for things. So if you would write to me today, I'll be glad to pray with you for the needs in your life. Romans chapter 16, and we start by looking in verses 1 through 24, by looking at this first section, commending servants and saints, Paul the Apostle is doing here. And verses 1 and 2, it says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord, as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succour of many, and of myself also. Well, in these first two verses, we see a commendation of someone by the name of Phoebe. Phoebe, he says, is a sister servant of the church in Corinth. And look in Acts chapter 18 and verse 18, it says, And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. Now, you keep reading there about Cenchrea. This was a port of Corinth. And Paul the Apostle, once again, is commending this sister, Phoebe, from the church in Corinth. Now, we go on and look in verse 2, and we see that help for someone who helps others. Paul says, assist her. Phoebe was a servant in the church, and now he's saying, you saints, you need to assist her in whatever thing she needs, and also, you help her as you would help me. Now, verses 3 through 5, it says, Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Paul the Apostle gives credit where credit is due. Now, of course, he takes credit in the name of the Lord. He doesn't take personal credit. He says it's the Lord who does the work. And he passes these people on that he's speaking of here as fellow laborers, as those who are helping him in the Lord. And we see these further admonitions that Paul's giving here in verses 3 through 5. He says, Welcome Priscilla and Aquila, Paul's helpers. Now, they evidently helped Paul in doing what he couldn't do, and who also, it would appear, jeopardized their own lives for Paul and every church of the Gentiles. Well, notice in verse 4, lives jeopardized. They laid down their own, placed their own lives in jeopardy, and there evidently was a church in their house, according to the first part of verse 5. And it was also that they are to welcome a saved Grecian. In Colossians 3:11 it says, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." He's saying now there's a Grecian, a Greek coming, and you are to welcome the Greeks. You are to understand there is neither bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, that we're all one. You see how this is carried through throughout the entire book of Romans. He's saying there's no difference in any of us. He's saying that the same God is over all, whether you're Jew or Greek, Gentile, or whatever you are. In Galatians 3:28, it carries this thought through where it says there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. We're all the same, and you're to receive these people. Romans chapter 16, verses 6 through 16, Paul says, "Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsmen. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nerus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." Now, I may not have pronounced all those names right. God knows who they are. And if you're reading along with me, you can see that there may be a problem pronouncing these names, but you've got the idea that Paul is telling these people, you need to welcome all of these individuals. He's giving a recommendation here. Saluting and commending saints, we see specifically in these verses 6 through 16. And there's 23 named individuals here. A sister, two households, some brethren, other saints, these commending churches, and the mother. And we see this as we study Paul the Apostle and the epistles and the letters he's written to churches, how that he commends other individuals. And we see this especially in these verses, Romans 16, 6 through 16. And then verse 17 and 18, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." There's many people even today who confuse individuals. They have something that sounds good, but it's not the doctrine of our Lord. We need to understand that there are basic Bible doctrines. The doctrine, first of all, that is the most important is the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrine of salvation, that it's through His blood that we are saved. And then there are other doctrines, of course. And Paul's saying that you need to mark those individuals. How do we know if they're teaching something wrong? Well, you need to get in the Word of God and the Spirit of the Lord. It's like a switch that goes off when you hear something contrary to the Word of God, if you know it. If you've studied the Word of God, it's like a switch that goes off when you hear something contrary to a doctrine of God. In verses 17 and 18, we do see a warning there. He says to point out those who cause divisions among you. Now verses 19 through 20. He says, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Here we see recognized obedience and results. Verse 19, first part of that verse says, everybody knows about you. Then he says, you're to be wise. know much about what is good, and don't study evil. And verse 20, it says there's a promise and there's a prayer there that we see. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan. That's a promise. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That's a prayer of Paul. Romans 16, 21 through 24 says this, Timotheus, my fellow, my work fellow, and Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you, and Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. This is greetings from Paul's companions here. And let me say that this, I, Tertius, he says, who wrote this epistle, Paul would have possibly someone, a pensman, who would write down as Paul would dictate what God had given him to write. And remember, this is all under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He talks about Timothy. He talks about Lucius, and this was a Christian at Antioch. And Acts 13, 1 says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Now also we read the name of Jason there, and you can read about Jason in Acts 17, verses 5 through 7. And the rest of these people are also mentioned in the Word of God. Now here's Paul's doxology in Romans 16, 25 through 27. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mercy which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God, only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. He talks about here the power to establish in verse 25, and it's according to Paul's good news, the gospel and preaching of Jesus Christ. Power to establish is according to the proclaiming of Jesus Christ. Power to establish is salvation for the Gentiles. God's commandment makes known in verse 26 by the word of God. It's made known salvation for all saints by faith. And he says to God alone, wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. God has certainly given us something that we can be proud of as Christians, and that is the writings of Paul the Apostle. Now, once again, Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's writing the things that God wants him to write. And we've had a privilege now of studying that together as we've looked into the book of Romans. And let me remind you that you can look at this on lrwm.org, a complete lesson series. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, ask Him to come into your heart. Receive Him today. Trust Him. And the Lord will bless you by making sure that one day you will see Christ, your Savior, in heaven. May the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.